Looking to take your career to the next level? Then get ready. Here comes Dr. Career on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or online at citr.ca. He will inform, inspire, and give you practical steps to successfully land your next dream job.
Welcome back to another edition of Career Fast Track. I'm your host, Philippe DeRoche, also known as Dr. Career in the industry. Every Monday morning, check us out in 24 hours. We are now across the nation. We are in Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Toronto, and Montreal. We are featured every Monday morning in there. So what does that have to do with you? It has to do with the fact that if you have family or friends in those cities, let them know that they can be reading the kind of information that you have been receiving here out in Vancouver, but it has now been launched across the country. I'd also like to mention that the article was featuring a very exciting new book release entitled 99 Things You Wish You Knew Before Landing Your Dream Job. 99 Things You Wish You Knew Before Landing Your Dream Job. And that's a book that has been released Amazon.com, on your iPhone, your iPad. It's also available through Sony Reader, the Amazon Kindle, the whole kit. Great book. Check it out. Of course, it's my latest release, my latest book, so I encourage you to check it out. You are not as rich as you think. Today we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about a very disturbing statistic that came out. When asked Americans, what percentage do you think of the American population owns the vast majority of the financial wealth? The results they came back with were amazingly startling. When asked, who do you think owns the vast majority of the wealth, and what percentage of that wealth makes up the total wealth in the United States? It was amazing that when asked a certain particular group here what they thought was appropriate, or rather what they thought fit the quote-unquote exactly the perfect amount of money to be received, roughly 55% of the top 20%. So here's the question they would be asked. Of the top 20% wealthiest people in the world, what percentage of the total wealth did they own within the United States? For example, if let's say they picked the top 20% of richest people, so they got everyone's income and they put it on a graph from most to least, they pick the income of the top 20% of people, just people, so 20% of the American population, not how much they're making, then they found out how much percentage of the total value of the American population income does that top 20% make. So they asked the population of the United States that question, and it ranged from 35%, 30%, some even went as high as saying 60%. The next 20% below that, the majority of Americans thought that the next 20%, so not the top 20%, but the next 20%, the next 20 top percent, they made up about 10% of the value of the American population. The middle class made up about 10% of the population. The next lowest 20%, so below the middle class, they made out about 10%, and the lowest, the bottom 20%, made up about 10% of the American population. So there's about an even distribution between the top or the below the top 20%. So basically, they did acknowledge that the top 20% of the American population made a significant amount of money, but everyone below that was around 10 to 20%, rather 5 to 10% distribution of income. Here's the actual number. The top 25% of the American population earns has in their bank account 85% of the wealth of the United States. The next 20%, so not the top 20%, but the next 20% makes up about 10% of the wealth. The middle class, the next 20% below that, and the bottom 20% make up 5%. Of the American population's wealth comes from 20% of the people. 10% from the 20% below that top 20%. And the middle class, the 20% that falls below the middle class, and the bottom 20% make up, that 60% of the people make up 5% of the wealth. Now, if you're not disturbed by that, I don't know what would disturb you. The number here is 604-822-2487. 604-822-2487. Does that statistic disturb you and why? Here's why it disturbs me. We spend so much time worrying about 1,000 here, 5,000 here, getting ripped off 2,000 here. And we are playing in a game. We're fighting over scraps. We're like carnivores, the rest of us. The other area, and the reason why it bothers me so much, this statistic, is that so many people I work with do not think they're worth a lot of money. And yet, the top 20% of the American population earn beyond anyone's possible worth. Is someone worth $100 million? Is that their personal value? It's so stratospheric that it convinces me that anyone's belief that they have a personal monetary value is absurd. So whether you think you're worth $100 million, that's absurd. And if you think you're worth $25,000, that's absurd. Both make no sense. So, if you are the kind of person that is stuck in thinking that you are not worth more than what you're earning, first ask yourself, is this where I feel I am? Am I stuck in this amount of money because I don't think I'm worth more? And I pretty much predict that one of the reasons why you only earn what you earn is because you think you're worth that. If you want to break out of that, give me a call, 604-822-2487. We're taking calls here around money. And a disturbing statistic that just came out that the American population actually thinks, more importantly, are horribly misinformed about who has money. Most Americans think that the top 20% earns about 50 to 60% of all the income. And in fact, there is a good 10% held to those in the top, the 20% below that, 10% middle class. I mean, 60% of the American population, we can even go one higher than that, is to say that 80% of the American population accounts for 15% of income. The bottom 80% of the American population, of the people in the American, in the United States, make up 15% of the income. That's shocking. I was working with a woman. She was earning $35,000 for so many years. She was convinced that was her worth. If you've been maintained or remained static for over 7 years, that's usually that period where you really get stuck financially in a certain situation. You're at a dangerous position not earning any more money. Now, maybe you don't want any more money, and that's another issue. And this discussion may be triggering issues and relationships you have with money. If you are a hoarder, it's terrible. If you hoard your money, what's the point of giving you more? You're not going to do anything with it. My experience with money is it must flow. The Dead Sea is dead because it's the only body of water in the world that doesn't have a river running in or running out. There's no flow. No flow, die. On the other hand, you may be an overspender. You don't see the value of money. Maybe you can't hold on to it because as a kid you learned that money was bad, and so to hold on to it would be bad, would make you bad. I think one of the best things you could ever do is buy a book on the spirituality of money, the power of money, the significance or the meaning of money. Now, I bet you know deep down if you have a bad relationship with money. My commitment on today's show is to have you identify whether you do or not, and how can we turn it around? The fastest way for you to earn more money is to actually identify this and listen to some of the concepts we're talking about today on the show. If you have a bad relationship with money, give me a call, 604-822-2487. I will give you clear practical strategies to develop a better relationship. How do I know this? I had a nasty, nasty relationship with money. And then something happened and it changed everything. My income as a result was more or less in direct relationship to how my relationship with money grew. I used to hoard money like you wouldn't believe. I'd be the kind of guy that wouldn't buy a loaf of bread over 99 cents. I don't care how unnutritious it was. I just wanted a product that was cheap. It was my only value. I placed value on the value of money. I didn't place any values on health. I didn't place any values on quality. I didn't place any values on where the product came from. I didn't care about any of that. It was just the monetary value. Here's one of the fastest ways for you to develop a good relationship, a better relationship for money, is to start adding more values in your life beyond money. I'm talking to you cheap people out there. Maybe you have a sofa that's got a hole in it, a burn in it. Maybe the foam is so flat, it's not a sofa anymore. It's a doormat. You place value on money and you have no other values. You value nothing else. You disagree with me? What about the friends that come over and sit on your sofa? If you valued your friends, would you not get a better sofa? You might say, I don't have the money. Okay, I get it. Now, what about you when you look at the sofa? Do you love the sofa? Now, if you're falling in love with it because it has a significance, if it's a family heirloom, then you value family. Great. But why not put it to the side? Why not store it? Why not put it in the basement? Would you feel better with a better quality sofa? When you add more values, when you value the community, your actions will be different. You may invest some money in helping a community organization. If you value bicycles, you may contribute to a nonprofit organization that lobbies to have more bicycle paths in your city. If you value your children or your wife or your family members, you will buy them a gift once in a while. Are you cheap and tired of it? Give me a call, 604-822-2487. In my work in careers, money is completely and absolutely applicable. I have had no choice but to redesign my relationship with money, thus working with you on yours. Now, let's move on to those people who don't like spending money. Do you not like spending money? Maybe you're cheap. Maybe you just don't know how much you have to spend. My father was on me for 6 years to develop a budget. Until I finally understood what a budget really was. Let me define it in a way for you so that when you do it, it will completely eliminate the stress from all of your spending of cash. When you have a budget in Excel, which is a list of the item in which you spend your money on every single month, you start with the repeat payments, including food, including utility bills. You know that when you spend that money, you have it. You're not going to go poor. At the bottom, you're going to have a number that is going to tell you how much you have left over. That number gives you a ballpark to know that, let's say you have $350 left over at the end of the month, or left over after all payments, when you go and buy a latte for $350, $450, you're not going to feel bad for spending the money. You could actually afford a face cream for $25. Now, can you go buy $800 mags on your car? No, you can't afford it because you know. Now, if you want mags, you do one of two things. You earn more money or you spend less. So you look at your budget and say, I don't want this TV station. I don't want to be putting so much money on food. I'm not going to go out for 6 months and scrap my friends. Whatever you decide to do, you could save the money so that you can buy your mags. A reality check on where you spend your money. Now, for those of you who are overspenders, now you might be asking yourself, what does spending or hoarding cash have to do with careers? Everything. A career, fundamentally, unless you have money stashed out on the side or inheritance, or until the government actually makes volunteer hours deductible off your taxes. So let's say you're a spouse living together, one works and earns $100,000 and pays $50,000 tax, but the other works all year full time. That $50,000 tax would be wiped out because time spent volunteering is deductible off your partner's income, meaning it's equivalent to work. Now that's a great concept. Unfortunately, the government would lose a lot of tax dollars, which is another problem, not my issue. But that's an interesting discussion. If you have a bad relationship with money, you will not be able to realize your full potential in your career. You can't, you won't. You can't, I know it. If you are an overspender, meaning you spend too much, you spend more than you make every month, you could write down for just 1 month. I can't stand writing down what I spend. I hate it. I went over my budget 1 month, and then for 1 month only, I went to my credit card, and I saw that I spent $1,050 on food on me alone. I'm one person. Last time I checked, $1,000. Now, I don't care how wealthy you are. That's a lot of money on food. I said, well, what can I get it down to? Went down to 500. I'm now down to 300. I'm not compromising anything, and I'm able to put this money to other places. Now, I've learned to enjoy spending. So I enjoyed spending the money on the food. Now I'm enjoying spending the money on my car, which is what I did. Overspending is a lot of issues. Could be you're bored and you want to fill your time. Maybe you're lonely. So get yourself someone, a friend. It's easier to spend money than find a friend, I'll tell you that much. While I take a break, I want you to think about what is your relationship with money? If you were to continue to have this kind of relationship with money, would you be sustainable? Would you be happy? Is it holding you back? What would you like your relationship to be like If I were to ask you that, what could your relationship be like with money? What would be possible for you? If you could have any kind of relationship with money, what would it be?
CITR has more friends than ever before. We've partnered with tons of local businesses to bring you great discounts in the communities where you live, work, and play. Maybe Main Street is your main drag. Present your Friends of CITR card at Red Cat Records, Lucky's Comics, Devil May Wear, Thriller, Blim, The Kiss Store, The Wallflower Modern Diner, RX Comics, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Vinyl Records, Regional Assembly of Text, and Twig and Hottie to receive fabulous discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free Friends card, and feel the love.
Looking to take your career to the next level? Then get ready. Here comes Dr. Career on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or online at citr.ca. He will inform, inspire, and give you practical steps to successfully land your next dream job.
Welcome back to Career Fast Track. I'm your host, Philippe Desrochers. 101.9 FM is the station, also found online at www.citr.ca. Great site, lots of podcasts. I've got about 20 to 30 on there. Recently interviewed lots of great authors of great career books, including How to Use and Access Your Intuition to Make Better Career Decisions. I'm telling you, if you don't nourish it, if you don't use it, it dies, and it and you pay a huge price for it. If you're just joining us here, I was sharing a startling and a disappointing and a heartbreaking statistic that is completely the opposite of Scotiabank's You're Richer Than You Think advertising campaign. You are much, much poorer than you think. Americans are horribly misinformed about who has money. Most Americans think that a lot of the wealth, the top 20% of the wealth in the United States, does go to roughly 50% of the United States. However, they also think that the next 20% account for 10%, the middle class makes up 10%, and then so on and so forth. But it's so far removed from that, it's not even funny. 85% of the American wealth is 20% of the Americans. 10% is the next 10%. And 60% of the wealth of the United States, 60% of the United States, 60%, including the entire middle class, makes up 5% of the actual money in the bank by individuals. That makes me realize that the amount of stress we put ourselves under over money is completely useless. We are fighting over scraps. What is the point? The Bible says, don't worry, you have enough problems. And if I'm going to make flowers look so beautiful and drape them in such beautiful colors, will I not provide for you, put a shelter over your head, give you clothing, the fundamentals, the basics? And so why are we fighting over the scraps? I say, since there is so little chance of accessing such little and large wealth, rather, why not enjoy our lives and enjoy the work we're doing? So, earn what you're earning and be happy. And realize that the wealth is in so few hands. And the only way to be that hand is to be extremely well-connected and very motivated in your area of work. If you don't have any of that, you don't have a hope. So then why not just enjoy what you have? I've always said it's easier to land your dream job than it is to find or land any job. The reason for that is because you are always competing with the 80-20 rule, Pareto's principle, that 80% of everyone that applies for a specific job hates or is not interested in that job, where 20% are particularly interested. Why be that 80%? Because you're competing with the 20. Why not be the 20 and compete with the 80 that aren't into it? Just this morning, I was looking through 35 resumes for a very, very, very exclusive position in private equity finance, which is a type of company that has lots of cash and invests in businesses and makes investment decisions. I mean, it's the hottest industry, one of the hottest industries. And I look through applications and I can tell within 30 seconds whether the applicant was in the 80% or 20%. And of course, as it would be, out of those 30, 40 applications, I saw 20% of the three is six. I had about 6 to 8 applications, and that was it that went through. Why are you wasting your time? One of the reasons is you're so caught up in fighting for scraps. There's no point. Before the break, I asked you to think about what's the kind of relationship you'd like to have with money. If you weren't so stressed out about money, if you realize that in fact money is, really is, but a game, and in no way linked to your value, would you be more willing to negotiate with your boss? Would you be more willing to ask for more money, knowing that there is absolutely no connection between what you're doing and the amount of money you're making? Sure, there's a market value for what someone gets paid at a marketing director's position, for example. Because certain industry standards have occurred, and in general, organizations can afford to hire this. If they can't, they don't create the position. If they can't, they fire them. So if the position exists, there's a range of money there. What if you didn't have to fall into that range? What if you are the kind of performer who only does or did what they loved and never settled? This is one of the areas I'm starting to develop a lot, is this concept of never settle, or careers without limits. I'm going to leave you with a question. What would your career look like if you did not settle anymore? What would your career look like if you did not settle anymore? And appreciate what that would mean for your pocketbook. I'm Philippe Desrochers. You've been listening to Career Fast Track, 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or online at citr.ca. Check us out every Monday morning at 24 Hours Newspaper. It is now across the country. Very excited. Check out 99 Things You Wish You Knew Before Landing Your Dream Job on Amazon.com.